Give us that abundant life today. And as the Lord, we talk about the subject of doing your will. Give us willing hearts. Bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, I'm answering the surveys you filled out a few months ago regarding the sermons that you would like to hear. This is the number one response, doing God's will. I was very pleased by that. In fact, I believe since so many of you chose this subject, doing God's will, that it really says something about Fallbrook, and it's a spiritual answer, and it means that you want to know what God desires of you. But the question comes, how can I be sure that I'm doing God's will? And so I've titled the message, Doing God's Will. Is the matter so clear? I found that it's easy to know what not to do. In fact, sometimes I wish that I was there in the Old Testament and I could do like Gideon. And I could ask God, according to Judges 6, to provide a test. And if the fleece was wet while the ground was dry, that'd be my answer. But you know, it's interesting when you read that story that Gideon wanted it done again, and so God reversed it to make sure he didn't get out. He had the fleece dry and the ground wet to certainly know that he was to follow God's leading. Or in the case of a number of places in the Old Testament, the priest wore the breastplate or the apron with the Urim and the Thummim. Many of you may know that. And so when they want an answer, yes or no, they could just look at the Urim and the Thummim, and if it was a cloud on one side or a light on the other, they knew yes or no. I wish life was that easy today. But there are some things that you will easily know that it's not God's will. We don't have to spend a lot of time like we did years ago preaching sermons on stop smoking. I think you can present that in a health lecture, but it doesn't have to be the topic of your sermon anymore. If the manufacturer themselves has put it on the package that it causes cancer, we don't need to remind folk that it's bad for your health. We know God's will is not for us to smoke. You can figure that out fairly easy. Or we know when we are participating in bad habits or self-destructive behavior. We don't always need a word from the Lord to know that or to convince us. But the challenge is, knowing God's will is being careful. Now, these are the areas that I struggle in. Being careful of not doing our own agenda instead of God's. That is a test for us. You might remember the account in the Gospel of St. Luke, the transfiguration of Jesus, when Jesus was in prayer, getting ready for the great trial that he had to go through. And in his praying, Moses and Elijah came down from heaven to offer encouragement and support to Jesus, knowing the great work of redemption was ahead. And Peter, James, and John were there, but they were sleeping. And they woke up out of their sleep to see this glorious event happening before them. But listen how Peter reacted when he saw the great transfiguration. This is what he said. He said, "Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three tabernacles." Peter immediately woke up and had his own agenda. Jesus did not need three tabernacles. And sometimes our agenda or some of the ideas that we have are not God's ideas. They're our agendas. How do we work through that and know what's right? That is the challenge that we have. Pastors often have that. They come to churches with grandiose ideas that are not the people's and are not God's. How do you pour through that and know what's right? Those are the challenges. So the matter is not so clear regarding doing God's will, especially when the thing that you are trying to get an answer for is not a bad thing. How do you know what God's will is when the thing is not bad or it's not immoral in nature? And that makes decisions very difficult. What college should I go to? I have 8 different schools. Where should I go? Not a bad decision. But how do you make the decision? What is God's will? Or how do I accept? What job do I accept? I have 3 job offers. And if you have 3 job offers, thank the Lord. 3 job offers. Which job offers? Which one do I take? I want to purchase this particular vehicle. But there are 15 others out there that are very similar. Which car do I purchase? Or I'll make a harder one. Who do I marry? How do I make that decision? I see someone that I really feel strongly about. Should I marry that person? What's God's will? Well, at least I have the answer to that one. Make sure, young people, are you listening? Make sure, before you marry any individual, determine if that individual is spiritual. Determine if that individual is spiritual. You can use that guideline. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 talks about that, because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You want someone who will listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Must be a prerequisite. I didn't say religious, I said spiritual. How do I know what God's will is? Matthew 6:33. This is an answer for you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You want to know about doing God's will? Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about tomorrow. The problems of today are sufficient for today. That's verse 34 of Matthew 6. How do you make a decision when there's nothing wrong? Another way you can know about doing God's will: might be nothing wrong with a particular thing, but there may not be anything right with it. Did that go over your head? May not be anything wrong, but it may not be anything right. What do you mean by that? Is it beneficial to you? Will you benefit by it? Will it complicate your life or simplify your life? There's some things you know complicate your life. There's some people you know that complicate your life. You don't have to ask God's will. Is it consistent with Christ's lordship? How is it going to affect your Christian walk? And is it helpful to others? These are the things you can use to know God's will. But I don't want to stop there. I want to just spend a minute looking at Jesus, the model of doing God's will. And one of the challenges in doing God's will is not doing the good times. You know, I rarely ask about doing God's will when everything is going fine. But when a little rain falls, just the little rain, I was sharing in the first service when I was serving in the Navy as a chaplain, specifically serving with the Marines. I went to cold weather training. Cold weather training, I believe, is tougher than desert training. There's something about the cold that'll work on your mind when you're cold. And when cold weather training, there's no buildings to go inside of, so you're just cold. And we had been cross-country skiing all day long with a full pack on our back. And I was cold. And I was tired than I'd ever been. And we had 10 other people in our group. And it was coming upon midnight. And it was time to go to bed on the foot of snow. And we had to set up our tent. They call it a 10-man tent, but really only 5 can fit in there. But somehow we get 10 in there anyway. And putting it up when you're tired and you're sleepy and you're hungry and you've been going all day long and you are really cold. And the team broke down mentally and started cussing and arguing with each other. And I was the senior person, and I was supposed to keep them in order. And I, at that point, I was as mad and as upset as they were, and I was as tired as they were. You know what I asked? I said, Lord, what am I doing here? I could be in a nice, warm church. That's exactly what I ask myself. But it's interesting when you're going through challenges, how they'll make you question what God's will is. I know there was no question at all that God directed my life to what I was doing. But at that particular moment, I was not so sure. And you know, I have reversed that. There are times that I come in churches and I ask myself the same thing. What am I doing here? And sometimes I want to be back out in the snow. Now, that's the truth. Those are the challenges that we face when difficulties come and you're talking about doing God's will. Matthew chapter 4, a very famous passage that we're all aware of. Just in the interest of time, I'm not going to have you turn there, but I want you to know that it's there. Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. Jesus was about to enter into a very important phase of his life and what the mission he needed to do. And so here comes the devil. And he approaches Jesus with a proposition. He says, so you have been assigned to bring salvation to the people of the earth. That's a big job. Let me help you. Turn the stones into bread. And you know, if you feed the people, they'll follow you. Jesus says, no, it is written. Jesus refused the suggestions, and so the devil comes up with something else. He says, just cast yourself from the top of the temple. The angels will save you, and the people will know that you're the Son of God. Jesus says, it is written. And then the devil says, Don't worry about fighting over the dominion of the earth. Just bow down and worship me. And I'll hand the people over to you. You know what Satan wants us to do regarding the will of God, doing his will? He wants you and I to take the shortcut, the easy way. Reza, there's nothing easy about what you have been doing. I'm glad that the church has not tried to make it seem like it was going to be easy. I wish there's no shortcut. You found that out. You know, I don't know how individuals who are struggling with the real temptations and the challenges of life, how do they make it? How do you make it when you have sickness? So much cancer we hear about and people struggling with that. How do they make it and still are positive? I think they make it because they follow 1 Timothy 2:3-4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, because they know this, who desires for all men and women to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, that's what God's will is for you, first of all, is that we would be saved. I think those who have the struggles, they make it because they believe, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's how you have to make it, Reza. You're going to have to maintain your faith in the Son of God. I read about a story of a man that read his Bible 34 times on his knees and could not accept a very simple truth of the Bible. How is that possible? It's possible because there are times, and you know that, as if you've worked with people and tried to get them to see what is true. Sometimes we do not want to see a truth. And therefore, when we don't want to see it, we can't see it. You must, to do God's will. When you read that passage in John 7:17, you'll find something very interesting, that Jesus was willing. In order to do God's will, you must be willing first. I'd like to close with a story you're familiar with. And it's the reason why I think we're all willing to do God's will. Umberto Alexander, he's pastoring today. We've seen him on Mission Spotlight and a number of things regarding our church. He was a political prisoner in Cuba for 22 years. And he was held prisoner because he was preaching the second coming of Jesus to his youth at his church. In his book, I Will Die Free, he talks about his experience in the Cuban prison. Talked about one day how his captors made him stand on his tiptoes, chin deep, in a lake of cesspool stuff. To stand on his tiptoes for over three hours. His legs were cramped. He could not hardly go on. He said the stench burned his nostrils. And as the sun grew hotter, he grew more desperate. And he felt abandoned. I wonder how he felt then about teaching the second coming to the youth at his church. Wonder if he thought it was a good idea then to do that. I mean, when you get in the struggles, it'll make you question God. In desperation, the story says, he cried out in agony, "Dear God, where are you in all of this?" Have you ever had that cry? I have. Some of you have too. God, where are you in all of this? And all of a sudden, God answered, drawing his attention to a little lily pad floating in the cesspool, floated a few feet from his face. And as the sun grew hotter, that little bud began to open up and put out a sweet fragrance past his nose. It took his mind off the filth and the slime. Where was God in the time of need? Right there. Right there all the time. It is God's will that you be saved. We won't have an excuse when we get to the kingdom. Maybe this was not the sermon you were hoping for. Doing God's will, it means first of all is being saved in God's kingdom. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we want to do your will. We struggle with that. There are so many decisions. We genuinely want to know where you want us to go, what you want us to do. Lord, the matter is not always as clear as we try and make it. We know what the Word of God says, and there are some things that are clear. But Lord, maybe we ought to start at the beginning. First things first. See first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And watch what will happen. Maybe we need to begin at the most important thing, and that is to give our lives to you. That is your will for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to conclude our service today. As you can, if you would stand, we'll sing one.